He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Well, and welcome to the Wednesday. It is the Wednesday edition of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. And, you know, we got a little bit of a consolidation day going on in the overall market. But as I look underneath the market, there's some big winners in the market. We have a few. I got a couple I'm going to crow about here during the show today. But right now the Dow is down 8 points, and it is still off of its all-time high, which it set about a week ago, something like that. The Dow is at 35,358. Now, the good news is it's staying above 35,000, all right? The S&P 500, which hit a new all-time high yesterday, once again, all right? The S&P 500 today is down just a little bit. It's actually up a little bit. It's up almost 4 points right now. So that's a new high for the S&P. 44.49. Remember that when you fill out your lotto ticket today. The NASDAQ, which hit 15,000 for the first time yesterday, it's holding on to 15,000. And the NASDAQ is up about 10 points. It's vacillating around here. Waiting for the bug to come around again here today. There it is. It's up 6 points right now. So a bit of a consolidation day today, no question. The Russell 2000 up just a skosh here. Crude oil is down 11 cents. Gold is down $21 per ounce. And that 10-year yield, well, it's up a little bit, 1.31. That may be holding the tech stocks down just a little bit. Might help the financials today. And lastly, good old Bitcoin, down a dollar or down a 1,058 to 47,483. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we had quite a day yesterday, and I told my clients and my subscribers, live trading subscribers, at the end of the day after the close yesterday, we had two huge days in a row, Monday and Tuesday. You know what? I expect a consolidation day on Wednesday, and that kind of looks like what we're getting. We're going to have a Fed speak again today. The market always seems to go into neutral as we await Fed speak. But the S&P closed at another new all-time high yesterday at 44.86, and it's hitting a new high today. And, of course, the NASDAQ hit a new all-time high yesterday, closing above 15,000 for the first time in its history and holding on to it today. The cybersecurity stocks had a very big day yesterday. We own several of those. CrowdStrike went into the NASDAQ 100. And then after the close yesterday, another one of our holdings, Mimecast, M-I-M-E. What was the news on it? Let's see, Mimecast. I can't remember right now. I'll think of it here in a minute, but it was big news. I think it was going into an index also. S&P 400, I want to say. And so it's way up today. And of course, Palo Alto Networks blew away its earnings estimates yesterday. So that's a pretty hot sector right now, that cybersecurity sector. So record highs yesterday for the S&P 500, record highs for the NASDAQ, a bit of a consolidation day, and all eyes on Jackson Hole, Wyoming today. I've been to Jackson Hole several times. It's a gorgeous place. It is nestled up against the Teton Mountains there. You've got Idaho on the one side. I've been to Rexburg, Idaho many times where some of our kids went to college. I've been over the line and over the mountain into Jackson Hole several times. Really, really a beautiful area of the world. Well, today all eyes on Jackson Hole. Guess who's there? I think our friend Jerome Powell is there, and wherever Powell goes, so do the cameras, so do the cameras. And every word that comes out of his mouth feeds right into the stock market. Taper, taper, taper. What's he going to do? What's he going to say about taper, taper? That's what seems to be on everybody's mind right now. Taper talk is the worry again today. And you saw what taper talk did to the market last week. It spooked the market Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Then the market finished off with a huge day last Friday. Had two very big days on Monday and Tuesday. Taper talk seems to be over. The tantrum is over. But let's see if he gets the tantrum going again today. And we'll also see what he has to say about the rise of the Delta force, Delta variant. Well, a few economic numbers out. We always look at those. We always report on those. All of these reports feed right into the U.S. economy. Durable goods slip in July on decline in transportation equipment. Okay, well, come on, people. Go out and buy some transportation equipment. Buy a cargo plane, you know, or a big delivery van. I don't care what it is. Just buy it. Well, anyways, durable goods slip in July on decline in transportation equipment. And, of course, there's been talk lately of peak economy. Did the economy peak as we came out of COVID and had that big sugar high? It doesn't look like that is the case because the stimulus remains in place. That rhymes. I could do a poem out of that. It does not look like that's the case because stimulus remains in place. New home sales up 708,000 in July, but down 27% from a year ago. Now, let's go back to a year ago. Why were new home sales on fire? COVID. People working from home and leaving the big congested cities where the Delta or where the COVID was, at its worst and getting out where there's a little more space in the suburbs. And you had a shortage of new homes. You had a lot of demand for new homes. You had a lot of demand for existing homes. You had low interest rates and people clamoring to get new homes from D.R. Horton and Toll Brothers and Hovnanian and all the rest of them, driving up lumber prices to areas we've never seen before, causing three-month delays in getting glass and other materials. Well, it's cooling off, I guess. That is the good news. Not good news for the home builders, however. All right, let's see what else we can expect to see today. Yesterday I would say, once again, if I was to say here's the pattern in the market right now, the market wants big, reliable earnings growth stocks. And even though these EV startups and whatnot have good days here and there, for the most part, I think the market really wants quality, big cap, NVIDIA, Apple, Microsoft, stocks like that right now. But it has spread out to some of the smaller, the cybersecurity, the cloud stocks. The chip stocks seem to be making a big comeback. I've got news on one of the biggest chip stocks in the world, on what they're doing today, and the pricing power. Okay, think about it. There's a big chip shortage that's not going to get any better anytime soon. That gives them tremendous pricing power. That's a good thing when a company has pricing power. That means they can raise prices, and there's not much the consumer can do about it or the buyers can do about it because they need those chips. They desperately need those chips. Do you think the automakers, if all of a sudden chips prices go up to the automakers, that the automakers are going to say, well, we'll get them somewhere else? They can't get them somewhere else. These chip companies have a lot of industries over a barrel right now. Who should benefit? Who could benefit from that? Well, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We send people to Washington, I say from both parties. One thing they all agree on is they love to spend money. Well, now the Democrats, they broke the stalemate yesterday. $3.5 trillion budget resolution. Now, it still has to pass, but another $3.5 trillion on top of the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, the $3.5 is going to be more human stimulus is what they're talking about, human infrastructure. In other words, a lot of socialism, a lot of social programs on the receiving end of that. Whether you're for it or against it, it's adding to the deficit of the U.S. of A. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back about these chip companies and their pricing power. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Dow up 12 right now, 35,379. NASDAQ up 29. That is another new high on the NASDAQ at 15,049. We have a couple of really big winners today here in our portfolios. But as always, you know, you got to look at everything we do, the whole portfolio. I'm not going to just pick out a couple of winners and say, oh, that's all we have as winners here. No. We have a couple of winners from amongst the 100 or so stocks that we own overall spread throughout our four or five portfolios. The way you can see the whole portfolio is by getting 2 weeks of our newsletter, all right? And I offer 2 free weeks of the full Monty, the whole enchilada with a side of beans and rice, at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Okay, before I get into the pricing power of the chip stocks, okay, which is pretty important. You know, the cybersecurity stocks, to some extent, also have pricing power, but there's a lot more competition in that sector. But the chips kind of have a lot of the buyers here kind of over a barrel right now. We'll get to that in just a minute. There's a couple of big folks weighing in on the market. I always like to see other opinions. I always like to give you other opinions so you can make up your own mind. I've always said, I've always lived by the motto, the more information that I can gather, the more information that I can gather, the better the inspiration and the decisions that I can make, okay? And I try to listen to as many people as I can. Richard Bernstein, CEO of Richard Bernstein Advisors, said Tuesday that the massive liquidity pumped into the financial system by the Federal Reserve has created the broadest bubble in history, affecting an extensive list of asset classes such as home prices, Bitcoin, and stocks in the innovation disruption sector. How can this not be a bubble, he asked in an appearance on CNBC. Okay, I'm with him, all right? Because he narrowed down the market to the part where the bubble is. He said it's in the innovation disruption sector. And he's obviously taking a shot at Cathie Woods, who is the face of the innovation disruption sector. And of course, she went out on a limb, was it earlier this week or late last week, saying, we're not even near a bubble. And especially in the sector of the market that she pretty much, you know, has her lines in the water and her bait in the water, and her ownership is in the innovation disruption center. She is way out there on a limb with gene editing stocks and, you know, little Coinbase, this, that, Robinhood, etc. So Richard Bernstein is another one weighing in. And, of course, it's quite a good controversy to watch. It's almost like Muhammad Ali versus Frazier, you know, some of those great heavyweight fights of old time. Because they're battling. And Richard Burry, you know, the famous The Big Short, he went out on a limb and has a big short in her ARKK ARK fund. So kind of interesting. But Bernstein, now he is also echoing what Gundlach said yesterday about the bubble in the bond market. Gundlach felt like bonds should be at 2.37 or even 3.37. Instead, they're at 1.37 or wherever they're at today, 1.32. And I would not be a buyer of ETF bond funds or mutual fund bond mutual funds. I would be a buyer of individual bonds that you can hold to maturity, that you plan on holding to maturity, all right? And Gundlach and Richard Bernstein, I'm sure, would agree with me. Now, where was the other bubble, Bernstein says? In Bitcoin. And you know what? I'm going to just leave it at this. You do with Bitcoin what you want to do, okay? I, with a good conscience, could not go out and buy Bitcoin-related assets, crypto-related assets for my clients. And I'll leave it at that. All right, now. So that's Bernstein weighing in, saying there is a bubble, especially in Cathie Wood's types of stocks. All right, now, I need to talk, let's go to the chip sector for a minute. Let's go there, and then we'll come back to COVID and the disruption it's causing right now in a lot of areas. The stock today, the company today that's talking about their pricing power is Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM, a stock that we have owned in the past, and we do not currently own. It's doing a rocket shot higher today because, here's what they said, foundry giant TSMC reportedly plans to raise its manufacturing prices by 10 to 20%, starting with orders expected to be fulfilled in December. Digitime sources say the foundry has notified clients about a 10% price hike for the mature sub-16 nanometer process manufacturing. Advanced processes of 16 nanometer and above could see price increases of up to 20%. You're seeing a rocket shot higher in Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM, which is the biggest foundry in the world, $611 billion. In other words, most of our semiconductor companies like Qualcomm, others, they're fabless. They do not fabricate the semiconductors. They design the semiconductors and they send them out to foundries to have them made. And there's only several foundries left in the world, and Taiwan Semiconductor is a dominant foundry. So they're sitting in the catbird seat, rising their prices by 15 to 20%, which obviously is good if you own the stock. Something to think about. Maybe Taiwan TSM will show up in my portfolios again just for fun. Let's see what it's ranked right now. It's been in a long, long sideways trend. Taiwan Semiconductor is currently ranked in my app, which is everything for me. I mean, it's 1,628, okay? So it's currently not a best stock now. But with this news and this big bounce today, it possibly could become a best stock now. So we'll keep our eye on it. Dividend yield 1.3%. Headquartered in Taiwan, okay? which is a whole different story. We saw what China did to Hong Kong. China's making the same claims on Taiwan and rattling their saber towards Taiwan, but so far leaving Taiwan alone other than rhetoric and a little bit of bullying here and there. So that's a controversial subject, all right? COVID-19 wanes within 6 months. That's what the UK study says on Pfizer and BioNTech. Within 6 months, the vaccine starts to fade. The effectiveness of the fiber of the Pfizer jab in a month after the second dose fell from 84%. It starts dropping, in other words. And now they're talking about you need a booster. How often do you need the booster? And, of course, all these mandates, which could impact a lot of different industries. So we have to continue to follow this story. And one last thing, 91% among variant cases are among fully vaccinated people in Los Angeles. So,
this is Bill.
Not good. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks. Now, Dow up 36 right now. S&P up 4, new all-time high for the S&P as it closes in on 4,500. NASDAQ up just 9 right now, but that is a new all-time high at 15,028. Okay, I just want to finish up this business about where we're at with COVID-19. The unvaccinated are 29 times more likely to get hospitalized with COVID-19. Okay. And the other one that caught my eye here is COVID-19 Delta variant cases rise 91% among the fully vaccinated in Los Angeles. And lastly, will we ever get to the bottom of it? The origin of COVID-19. Apparently, President Biden has a report. It's been 90 days since President Biden ordered a systematic review into the origins of COVID-19. The effort was intended to bring the world closer to a definitive conclusion as to what caused the pandemic, which has so far killed at least 4 million people across the globe and 630,000 Americans. Many scientists believe the virus jumped from bats to humans, though a lab leak theory has gained ground in recent months after initially being dismissed by many as a conspiracy. Well, the report is, he has the report in his hand, and a lot of it may be declassified soon. The classified intelligence records sent to President Biden apparently failed to conclusively determine if the outbreak spilled over from animals or was an accidental lab leak. However, parts of the probe could be declassified in the coming days after members of Congress are briefed on the outcome. In other words, we may never know the true origin of COVID-19. Okay, I just want to talk about SPACs for a minute. I was the one back earlier this year. You can go back and look at the headlines in my newsletters. I was calling it speculation. I said, this is not going to end well. These are very low-quality companies that are kind of skirting a lot of the regulatory rules of an IPO. And from my perspective, I saw a lot of crap going public through a SPAC. Well, now the lawsuits are beginning, okay? There's obviously a SPAC ETF if you want to invest in all these SPACs. I've watched them go to crap. The charts of the SPACs look horrible, just horrible, for the most part. I was adding 50 new SPACs a day to my Best Stocks Now app. And I said, this just is not going to end well. And there's also an ETF that shorts these SPACs, SOGU, S-O-G-U, is on the opposite side of the SPAC equation. Well, now the lawsuits begin. Lawsuit against Bill Ackman's Pershing Square SPAC may widen to other SPACs. Well, as I've watched the charts of these SPACs, and many of them are just tanking, I think there's going to be, these class action people are going to get in line with people that invested in these SPACs, and there is going to be nothing but trouble for many, many, many years in this whole SPAC market. And the first shot has been fired over the bow. You know, the first shot of the Civil War was fired right here in South Carolina. Guess who fired the first shot back from the island in the harbor here? It was Abner Doubleday, who fired the shot back. Did you know that? The inventor of baseball. Well, the first shot has been fired in the SPAC war, a major lawsuit against Bill Ackman's Pershing Square. It's expected to expand to other SPACs. One last bit of just kind of trivia news here. This is bad news. McDonald's takes milkshakes off British menus due to supply chain issues. They've removed all milkshakes and bottled drinks from the British menus as they experience shortages related to the global supply chain issues. Well, I suppose Burger King could charge double for their milkshakes now. They've got pricing power. Okay, I want to go back to the cybersecurity stocks for a minute. There is a big cybersecurity summit at the White House today. Some of the major players, okay, that I've watched these cybersecurity stocks over the year. Yesterday it was Palo Alto Networks that was in the news, PANW. They're probably one of the early ones, one of the pioneers with, you know, big cybersecurity threats. You've got FireEye. You've got CYBR, which is, CYBR, what is the name of that stock? It is CyberArk. I've owned CyberArk in the past. I would say probably the biggest name in this space right now is CrowdStrike, CRWD. CrowdStrike went into the NASDAQ 100 yesterday. CrowdStrike has a competitor that recently went public called SentinelOne S. That is a pretty formidable competitor there. You've got Fortinet, probably one of the hottest stocks in this sector right now. FTNT, it's cooled off just a little bit recently. You've got Proofpoint, which was recently bought out. I can't remember who bought them. Somebody bought them out. You got Okta, which is OKTA. We own several of these stocks that I've named here. Mimecast, big one, going into the S&P, I think it's the 400 today. We do have a position in Mimecast, M-I-M-E. There's a Cloudflare, symbol is NET. That was a big one picked up by Motley Fool recently. And then, of course, you have several ETFs that are made up of these cybersecurity stocks where you spread it out a little bit. You have a HACK, H-A-C-K. You have Cyber, C-I-B-R. You have Bug, B-U-G. You have IHACK. Now, that one should be based in Russia. IHACK, I-H-A-K. You have W-C-B-R, which I believe is an iShare or something like that. And you have FITE, F-I-T-E. So there's your little rundown. Of course, all of these shows are recorded and put up to my website, GundersonCapital.com. They go out to many podcast sites. You can go back and listen to a lot of those stocks I named and do your own research. It was a big day for the Chinese stocks yesterday. Here's what I say. Big deal. They've been crushed recently. KWEB was up 11% yesterday. That's a big China ETF on a lot of their tech stocks like Alibaba, Tencent Holdings, JD.com, Pinduoduo, all of those types. It was up 11.3%, but it's still down about 30% on the year, okay? So I just, you know what? They've blown it with me, and I think they've blown it with most money managers out there. Who wants to touch those Chinese stocks after what the China government has done to them over the last year or so? I remember this one, Ehang. It was a hot one. It's a flying car. It's a company out of China that makes flying cars. It was red hot last year, which is indicative of the kind of year we had last year. Ehang went to $130 per share last year. Right now it's $24 per share, from $130 to $24. I would say that that is a good proxy for a lot of these speculative, self-driving, electric vehicle, robo-taxis, battery charging companies. This has been the fate of a lot of those stocks this year. I say let everybody stand around and clap when the car takes off and flies, but investing in it, no thanks. Okay, one last one before we go to break. What about the legal sports betting? Do you know that $2 billion is expected to be bet on NFL this year? This will be the first full year, big year, where, you know, gambling on these games is allowed. Well, enter the picture Kathy Woods, who's a big buyer of DraftKings lately. Now, I saw DraftKings breaking out yesterday, DKNG, which is a big player in all of this, but there's a lot of competition in it, too. And I said, I bet Kathy Wood is buying DraftKings, because a lot of time when she goes in, her action alone drives these stocks up, drives them higher. And then, of course, when she's done buying, they flatten out again. And it's very hard for her to get out without not causing a big disruption. But anyways, there is an ETF called BETZ, B-E-T-Z. I just added it to the app where you can get exposure to all of these sports betting stocks. Our featured stock of the day coming up. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, with NASDAQ down just a little now after hitting a new all-time high here earlier in the session. Dow up 68 right now. That's not a new high, but pretty close to it. And S&P is hitting a new high, up 5 points. We do have some earnings here. Earnings season is it's over. Okay, there's a few trickling in. This whole parade will start all over again about October the 10th, somewhere like that, another 5 weeks or so, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. This was a spectacular earnings season. This was, of course, reports coming from Q2 of this year, which are in the rearview mirror. We're in Q3, quarter three, and it will wrap up on September the 30th, and then we'll go through this whole thing again. And I have said it before, I'll say it again, the best indicator for the market are earnings, stocks. Best indicator for stocks are earnings, growth thereof. And earnings forecast and expectations, okay? When they guide higher, they're guiding their expectations higher. The stock follows right along. I have an example of that here in a moment. And when stocks guide lower, they also follow right along. And when the index numbers forecast go down, the index follows right along. And when the forecasts are guided higher for the index, the index goes higher. So very, very important, very, very important to watch earnings forecast. Well, a couple stocks in the news, and then we'll move on to our featured stock of the day. I told you about DraftKings. Kathy Woods in there buying that one. GameStop had a huge day yesterday. No clear signs of Reddit fatigue. GameStop is probably the most overvalued stock in the entire market. It's a meme stock. Nordstrom's beats by 21 cents. I think more Nordstrom's is a stock I wouldn't touch. Wrong sector, wrong era. Nordstrom's was a powerhouse at one time. And one that's surprising to me, you know, when I think of Ball Corp, well, I'm a pretty avid gardener. I can quite a few jars of homemade spaghetti marinara sauce from my tomatoes this year, and homemade salsa with my own homegrown jalapenos and peppers, etc. Tomatoes, obviously. Ball Corp, that's been quite a stock. Ball does a lot of other things. They're getting a U.S. Air Force contract today. For a deal to identify, mitigate, and protect avionics systems against cyber attack. It's a cyber attack company, let alone keeping out the germs in your spaghetti sauce. So I'm just mentioning it because Ball is a best stock now, BLL. Toll Brothers beats by 33 cents. I think the home building craze and the big move in the home builders is behind us now. I don't have any exposure to that building sector. Intuit, which is a best stock now, major disruptor many years ago when they disrupted the entire CPA industry. Intuit beats by 28 cents, beats on revenue. It is a best stock now. Intuit, one to look at. And another one that's promoted to the S&P 500 today, Biotechne, symbol tech, T-E-C-H, is also a best stock now. In fact, right now, today, there's over 850 out of my database of almost 6,000 that have a B-plus grade or better. That's where I narrow my search every day. Okay, as far as my featured stock of the day, it's one in the news today. Listen to this. Dick's Sporting Goods, which we own in our ultra growth portfolio, because this is a small mid-cap stock, beats by $2.26. Well, people are staying home more. There's really only a few sporting goods companies left. All the others have gone bye-bye. There's Hibbett, H-I-B-B, and there's Academy Sports, A-S-O. Dick's beats by 26 cents, $2.20. They beat on revenue, and they raise their outlook. That's what I was just talking about. They raise their forward outlook. Dick's Sporting Goods right now is up. 14%. I wouldn't buy it today. We own it, okay? It got up into that B-plus territory quite a while ago. You saw what happened with Peloton last year with the stay-at-home craze and people not being able to go to the fitness center or the gymnasium. They're buying their own equipment at home. And Dick's, to me, is a much better play than Peloton because it's a value growth stock. What do you mean by that, Bill? Its forward P.E. ratio is 15.6. Its five-year growth rate is 14.9, giving it a PEG ratio of 1.06. The stock is up 145% over the last 12 months. The market's up 30. Dick's today is ranked number 85 out of 5,854. When I bought it, it was ranked around 115 or so. 2 months ago, it was 66. A month ago, it was 119. Today, it's number 85. I would not step in. I would wait and see what the forecasts go to. We're going to make Dick's Sporting Goods our featured stock of the day, DKS, and also disclose that it is a member of our Ultra Growth, one of the 22 stocks, I think, that I own in that portfolio. But as always, I'm not going to cherry pick one. I'm going to make the whole list available to you so that you can be your own judge. I offer out 2 free weeks of my newsletter where I pour my heart and soul into it every single weekend. It's a wrap-up of all the shows I do during the week and comments I make on this sector, that sector, stocks I mention, etc., along with the portfolios that I manage on a professional basis. I'm a fee-based money manager. I manage money for people all across America. If you'd like to call and set up an appointment, we have a certified financial planner that can look at your situation and give advice to you specific to your situation. Everybody's different. We don't believe in a cookie cutter approach based on your age. We talk to everybody. We manage our own money. We don't outsource it. And we're fiduciaries tasked with doing what's best for you. If you'd like to talk to one of my reps here, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Maybe you're getting ready to retire. Maybe you are retired. Maybe your advisor's got you in Chinese stocks and electric vehicle startups. I don't know. Maybe you manage your own money, and it's time-consuming. I can certainly testify to that. You can get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, or reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.